Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Hello, everybody.
That's
Hi,
Donna.
Hi,
Donna.
Donna Dreegan, are you there?
I'm right here. Somebody just called me. Yes, they're trying to get on. Yes, I'm here.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, if you need to help somebody, that's okay. We can hang in there.
They've got the number now.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, everybody, I would like to introduce Donna Dreegan to you. She's our for tonight, and she will be explaining a little bit more about the Heart Center community, what we are doing tonight. And so I ask you to share, and we have a wonderful person our program tonight, and we will be telling you more about him shortly. So I'm turning it over to you, Donna, to do this first part.
Okay. We'd love to be aware of anybody attending the class tonight. We'd like to meet you, and we want to know more about you and where you're from. And if you would like to meet any one of us in your area who's like-minded, please let us know. We have contacts all over the world, and
it's star 6, Donna.
Okay.
Okay, you can go ahead.
That's Margaret.
Excuse me?
That is Margaret from Tennessee.
Oh, good. Okay. I'm going to mute everybody and just let Donna Dreegan speak as soon as I can hear her.
Can you hear me, Donna?
Okay, and then Donna, hit star 6 and you will be on. Okay, let's see if I can hear you. I can't hear you yet. So hit
can
it again.
Can you hear me?
Now
can
I can
hear,
you, yeah. So go ahead.
Okay, did you hear anything I said or should I start all over?
Go ahead and start over.
Okay. We'd like to know who is attending the class tonight. We'd like to meet you and know more about you, where you're from. And if you would like to meet any of us in your area, please let us know. We have contacts all over the world. And if you feel isolated because of the new subjects and you would like to stay updated with the Heart Center activities and offers and services, updates about current happenings from the Masters, please make a note to contact us and we'll put you on our regular email or snail mail list. You'll hear from us every few weeks, most likely, or someone can call you if you prefer, or stay with us after class is over for a short time of questions and answers and prayers. Now, we have a HeartShare team. Our active team members are Barbara, Marlene, Cindy, Dwayne, Donna Kors, Marion, Sharon, Leonora Harris is our newest member, and myself, Donna Dreegan. We present this class, and we are able to be available to answer your questions and find out answers and pray with you and encourage you. If any attending this class would like to help us, please contact Donna Kors or Barbara Gabbert or any of the team members that you know of. And we also have a prayer team that prays for everyone we know that is invited to the class. You may also express any desires, requests, or suggestions at the end of the class, and we'll honor them and you. We're composed of many people whose desire is to hold the balance of light upon the earth. First, intimately, knowing our God presence and discovering our reason for being and emanating light as directed by our I Am presence. The Heart Center consists of many people from every imaginable religious or non-religious background, Catholics, Buddhists, Baptists, Unitarians, agnostics, you name it. We work closely with the Ascended Masters, those beings who have fulfilled their karmic debt on earth and are now working with the angels in heaven and other cosmic beings to assist us towards our ascension. Our mission, within our Heart Center community, we realize personal enlightenment through our higher self and share the Ascended Master's teachings and love wisdom throughout the earth. We have a wonderful class tonight with David C. Lewis, who's already here, author and amanuensis for the Masters through the sponsorship of the Heart Center community. He's here tonight at the direction of the Masters who love you and want to serve you. The Masters, particularly Mother Mary, who's also an archangel, desires to answer questions you have about them. They wish to encourage you and help you to feel comfortable with them. Mother Mary will be overshining David tonight, and she welcomes any questions you might have for him. You don't have to feel that you have to be perfect to be friends with the Masters. They want to be your friends and are here to serve you. I suggest that you have a pen and paper and use a landline phone with a speaker if possible. They only cost a few dollars more than the regular phone, and your hands are free, enabling you to walk around or take notes and meditate with us. We'll keep callers muted to eliminate background noise, and we have muted you. You can unmute yourself by pressing star six. If you'd like to ask a question during our class, please speak loudly and clearly into the phone. When you're through speaking, please press star six again, and you'll be muted again. This is important to block out the noise and interference. We ask that you be fairly brief if you have a question or comment so we can finish the class on time. At this time, I would like to ask Wynn to give us an invocation, please.
It's star six, Dwayne. We can't hear you, Dwayne. Dwayne, are you there?
She's there. I just think she's having some trouble.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we better ask someone else.
Okay. Lorraine, are you there? Sharon? Okay. Marion? All right. Maybe I should go ahead and give the invocation.
Yeah, go ahead.
In the name I am that am, we call to the angels of heaven. We call to Mother Mary. We call to the healing angels. We call to the other ascended masters to please surround us, the communication angels, and let us understand the words that are spoken, take them to our hearts, and let everyone speak through their holy Christ self. We ask this in the name I am that I am. Amen. Now tonight we're going to have a little meditation of pranayama. This is an old meditation. I mean, it's a meditation, breathing meditation, to relax and align ourselves with the Holy Spirit. Consider your breath as a gift and a part of the Holy Spirit. We do this together, which you can do with the phone in one hand. Close your eyes and look at the inside of your eyelids. Then with eyes closed, look up towards the place in the center of your forehead, between your eyebrows, the location of your third eye chakra. See your breath in and out as a brilliant light entering every cell of your body. Mother Mary said, "The Holy Spirit is a female gender, thus we say her when referring to the Holy Spirit." Now follow me as I say a mantra and give you instructions to breathe in, hold it, breathe out, hold it. So I'll say in, and then I'll say hold, and then I'll say out, hold, okay? We're going to do this two times, all right? In. I breathe in my Holy Spirit. Out. Hold. I absorb all of her merit. Out. I breathe out her light to the world. Hold. I am seeing God's love unfurled. And we'll do this again. In. I breathe in my Holy hold. I am seized. God's love unfurled. Thank you so much. And now tonight we will share together a prayer to Archangel Michael that's on the back of your snail mail letter or was sent to you by email. You're muted, so you will only hear me say the prayer. Please repeat the prayer with me one time. In the name of Archangel Michael, I say, O God, I am here to serve with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my being. I give you my heart, O Lord. Live in me, love through me, protect me and all who are on this call from all distractions, from all technical problems, and allow your heart, your mind, your being to flow and sing within me, to serve all life until their freedom in the light. May we all be filled with a love and light essential for the healing of our earth. Thank you so much. Now, we're going to be having a song that is also a prayer. You may know it. It's called The Immaculate Mary, and it's number 3 in your songbook for those with a songbook. Sing it as a prayer, as a devotion to Mother Mary and her angels who are with us tonight, helping us and guiding our class. I know this will be a surprise for everyone as you have had a different song that you received in the snail mail invitation. If you have not heard or do not know this song, please feel free to meditate with us while we do this. All right? Donna will play this at this time, Donna Kay, and you're muted, so, okay, I'm muted. Now, please turn to CS 38, if you have it. prayer focused for May, June, and I'm going to say a little bit of July. We stand in the golden light of mighty victory as we radiate our appreciation and greatest love to the sponsors of our Heartstone movement. O Moria, Divine Director, Mother Mary, Omram, Lanello, Claire de Lis, Jesus and Paul the Venetian, grateful for the sacred alchemies of the new blue and violet wave, we speak from the deep silence within to bring into manifest reality our perfect vision that the pure land is indeed here upon earth. We live in gracious harmony with our Mother Nature, the sun, wind, water, and crystal supply all the energy we require. We grow our own live organic food and develop our innate gift of healing, both spiritual and physical. We are healers of ourselves, our families and friends, our planet and our universe. The golden rule is followed everywhere on earth. It is the most beautifully reflected through individuals and families in the heart center education that children and youth receive. Compassion and kindness produce truly rich cultures of all countries and societies are enjoying their golden crystal age. Our heart center spiritual community is thriving and growing. Group leaders come together monthly to celebrate their victories and heartstring. New groups are forming all over the world, and more heart friends gather for meditation, prayer, and singing, fellowship, and fun. Our beloved Elohim Hercules Encyclopedia overshine, protect at the ongoing creative work and maintenance, and we as the security and inner workings of our Heart Center website. All of Heaven's intended audiences are tuning in, listening and responding to our Heart Center offerings on the Dr. Pat Show, as she co-hosts with David and sponsors him to host his own Heart Center talk show that is now going on. At our call, our sponsoring masters are there behind the scenes manifesting the miraculous, synchronistic, and magical as it emerges from the mind of God for each of our programs. Our events are planned well in advance to provide maximum opportunity for self-realization, light bearers of all ages to integrate with their joy-filled community. Masterful heart friends are magnetized abundant supply for our 2014 pilgrimage to Canada, an autumn equinox sacred journey to Saint Germain to southeastern Canada, September 14th through 22, with a one-day seminar in Montreal on September 14th, the Sun Saint Germain on meditation. Many past Mary University courses are now reopened and being attended online by an ever-increasing enrollment of conscious students and our new upcoming classes. Next Master Speak is going to be with Afra July 11th. And then in Chicago, July 11th through the 13th, we're going to have the Sacred Weekend in Chicago with the Magi and the Holy Family and Saints Robed in White. Tens of thousands of copies of Balmoria's Advanced Studies of the Human Aura book are being sold in North America and the world. Each author, workshop, and book signing is well promoted and attended. Saint Germain's Advanced Alchemy book, Afra's great book, Atome, and our Virtues mini books, Alchemy, are published on schedule by our growing, capable staff. Our heart center is rich in abundance, grace, and inner peace. With Micah, Angel of Unity, and our International Heart Center Council embodies and spreads the sacred flames of brotherhood and sisterhood across the whole wide world. We are cosmic alchemists. With Saint Germain, always only victory. Amen. And now we have another big surprise, another treat. A former HeartShare team member, Dorothea Stewart, and Donna will be playing that now.
Before I play that, I want to make sure that everybody will be able to ask questions, and I want to make sure that that our mute buttons are on the correct place. So I'm going to do a little experiment here real quick. Okay, that's what I wondered. So hold on, and now I'm going to mute you, but this time you should be able to hit star 6 questions. All right. What I would like you to hear this evening is just a brief little introduction by Dorothea Stewart, who used to be one of our HeartShare team members until she got so busy and the masters led her elsewhere. But she joins us often. I want you to hear this little presentation by her.
title of my topic today is Prospecting for Gold, and I thought it was so apropos that the discovery of gold nuggets in the Sacramento Valley in early 1848 sparked the gold rush, and here we are broadcasting today through beautiful California. I realized something recently as I was doing some research for Jackie Fleeter. I was searching the Heart Center's HeartStream database, and I instantly understood I was prospecting and that the HeartStreams were nuggets of pure gold, rare and precious, and that anyone that finds these treasures has found wealth. To read and assimilate them will bring greater wealth, understanding, and riches beyond our wildest dreams. The thought came to me that not only must I continue to prospect these golden nuggets of light, integrate them, and emanate them. The clarity which came with these thoughts made me say, Eureka! This gold mine must be made available to the world. This is what our world requires right now, these precious nuggets of condensed sun wisdom, pure wisdom which produces love of heart and mind and the power to see the real from the unreal. I have heard the question many times, what will it take to bring in the golden crystal age of Aquarius? In my humble opinion, I believe a key element is the ability to assist the world in prospecting for gold through the words of the Ascended Masters. Imagine, just imagine, people all over the world prospecting through their reading and hearing of these nuggets of sun wisdom through these amazing teachings. The greatest undertaking is to make these nuggets available to the world. And that mission requires a commitment of light bearers, heart friends, through volunteerism, and through our tithing that will allow publications and radio programming and even televised presentations by the spokesperson and spokespersons of the Ascended Masters. Let us begin this gold rush, not as a fever, as a beacon of light extended to all.
I thought that would be an appropriate little addition to our class tonight, the importance of the Masters and what they have given to us and how that is a real gold mine for which we are so grateful. So now I would like to introduce to you all the person who is the source right now, as chosen by the Masters, to be our amanuensis, of a movement begun by the Masters in 2004. He's also an author, musician, husband, and father, and he has been gifted by the Lord with clairaudience, and I will let him explain the rest. David, if you are there, come ahead.
Hi, everyone. Well, there's not a whole lot to explain other than a long time ago, I desired to be of service to my fellow man and to bring forth everything I could possibly bring forth to help people. And as a young boy, I desired to be a priest because I grew up Catholic, and I didn't end up going to divinity school or, you know, going into the priesthood. Yet I feel that my work right now is just as important as what I could have gone into had I done that, in terms of my ability to love people, to help them, to inspire them with spiritual teaching that's progressive and really is, by God's grace, from these saints robed in white that the Bible talks about, who we call the Ascended Masters. So as a young boy, I prayed, and when I discovered the teachings on karma and reincarnation, it all fit together, because at 14 years old, I realized that I had a mission, and I required certain key instruction that would help me make progress so that I could purify myself so that whatever my mission was, I could do it with the greatest humility, the greatest self-sacrifice, and fortunately with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to help people. So above and beyond the fact that I'm an amanuensis or a minister or anything else, I simply desire to help people. And I have tried to lead a life where I can, at any given point in time, if I see a need, if I see someone struggling, if I observe someone who just requires a little bit of a support, I can reach out and help them. And fortunately for me, it's turned into a life mission and an opportunity to be of greater service with hundreds and even thousands of people traveling to 37 nations and delivering over 4,000 heart streams, which are these messages inspired by God through the Ascended Masters by the agency of the Holy Spirit. I believe that every person, every individual was created in God's image and likeness and has sacred gifts to give to humanity. And that part of my purpose is to help unleash those gifts by inspiring people to make greater contact with the divine light within themselves, because Jesus even said the kingdom of God is within, and to feel empowered to move forward on their spiritual path, to be bold, to be daring, to be intrepid, and to really self-discover more, but inspired by the Holy Spirit, and then to go for it, to do it. You know, Nike's little statement, just do it, it's really meaningful to me, because so many people seem to be or feel that they are disempowered by what's happening in the world. And they feel beholden to a government that dominates or a culture that's not right in the way that it should be. A lot of perversity out there, a lot of manipulation or, you know, bad food, bad air, whatever it is. Yet, if we do go within and access the eternal light of God within our hearts that has always been there, then there's no excuse for us to make progress and to really fulfill our life calling and mission. So I would love to have your questions now, and inspired by our Blessed Mother, the Mother of Jesus, Mary, I will offer her guidance, her instruction, her wisdom to us all. So I guess if you have a question prepared, or you'd like to ask something tonight, you can hit *6 and ask, and then I'd be most happy to respond.
Hello. I have a question.
Yes.
Do the soulless ones have an aura? And can also, second question, can the soulless ones receive a soul in this lifetime?
Well, it's an interesting question. There was a book called The Soulless One by Mark Prophet, and it was basically the teaching on what's called the mechanization concept by the Great Divine Director. So you may be referring to that.
Yes.
And as I understand it, there are some beings who exist who were created without the act of creation that God has vouchsafed to man. In other words, they were kind of manufactured, either electronically or manipulated into existence through the use of genes and DNA. And when man tries to create without the Spirit, without God doing it, then it's not a true creation. And that manipulative creation does not have the spirit within it that is of God, created in God's image. It was not done by God. So if that's the case, does that person or individual have an aura? Well, they have a field of energy if they are breathing, yet there may not be light. There may not be the light of God, the spark divine within their heart that animates them as a son or daughter of God. It's interesting you ask this because I was speaking with one of our youth just a few days ago who said that a clairvoyant told him about an experience once when this person saw what she perceived to be an alien, someone who was not of this world, who actually was on the earth, and she actually kind of challenged the person and said, "You're an alien." And the person said, "How did you know?" And she said, "Because you weren't emanating any light. There was no light." Or maybe the person didn't challenge them, but she observed it, and she observed that they had no light in their aura, therefore they were an alien. Now, can someone without light, without light in their aura, gain a threefold flame? Well, in that same book on the Soulless One, it does talk about the fact that some of these beings can actually earn a threefold flame through good works, through living an honorable and godly life. So I'd like to caution us by saying we never judge anyone. We observe, we see the God light within everyone, no matter who they are, even if it's a criminal or someone that we perceive may be doing evil or is up to no good. How many people have been saved through a righteous person who takes it upon themselves to behold the divine, the Christ within another individual, and draw that person out of darkness, assist that person to make a change, a shift, a transformation, and thereby that person actually becomes an amazing advocate for true spirituality, and that person may go forth to help many others who are caught in the same type of web of darkness that that person had been caught in. So I think that we are moving into a time when we don't judge anymore. We don't even call someone soulless or a fallen one or evil, because by labeling them, we live in duality. We are in a state of judgment. And the scripture says, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." So I am choosing consciously, no matter who I interact with, who I observe, to love that individual, love the soul. We may not like the acts of what everyone does, yet we can still love their soul. And so now you say, well, if they're soulless, they don't have a soul. Well, they can gain a soul. So what you love is the animating force that at least gives them breath. And if you love that, which is still of the universal spirit of God at some level, then maybe the spirit will spark something within them, take hold of them, and allow them to be loving, just, compassionate, kind. And when even someone who may not have a soul lives a godly life, as I said, they can earn that threefold flame, and they can then and thereby make progress spiritually and eventually even win their ascension. So I think that many of us, though we observe what's going on around us, if we choose to hold everyone in the light, to love everyone compassionately and universally and without dissimulation of any kind, then we actually assist that person. energetically in their soul, and God can shine the light through that one and help that one. So that's the answer to that one.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any more questions?
I have a practical question. Concerning the ascension, in the IM books, in the old IM books, very, very long, the beginning of the previous century, was mentioned that Godfrey was required to do at least 30 minutes of violating decrees every day in order for him to gain his ascension. What do masters want us to do as far as our spiritual work or decree work or, you know, because they don't really have the same assessment of time as we do. So how we compare and where we are at?
Well, many, many people have made their ascension never knowing about the violet flame. Fortunately, we are aware of it as a spiritual tool that Saint Germain has given us many, many years ago, probably 80 years ago, to the earth. So if we have the understanding of the violet light and flame and fire, we can use it. And the greater the more we use it consciously, with great love and intent, with great feeling, and with visualization and heart-centeredness and love, it is a powerful tool to help us to transmute karma and to make greater spiritual progress. As to prescribe an exact amount of time every day, it's really up to you what you feel that you're able to do based on your life, your responsibilities, your job, your family, etc. I believe that there's no one prescribed formula for the ascension. The formula that works for me most is love, because even the violet fire is composed of the blue energy and the pink, and the pink is love. The blue is the power aspect of God, God's will, and the pink is love, compassion, kindness. I believe that the pink within the violet is what actually alchemizes that flame to have a powerful transmutative effect on whatever we choose to focus it upon, to visualize it engulfing or blessing. And therefore, for one person, 10 minutes of concentrated, powerful, loving giving of these mantras and prayers and songs can be even more effective than someone who's doing 30 minutes, but they're kind of rattling things off just to do the 30 minutes and looking at their watch. I think God observes our motives. God is aware of how much energy and love and virtue we pour into what we're doing. And I think it's all important, and more important, of course, to love what we do, to put in not just the time, to put in the loving energy into what we do. And that's what's going to make the difference. So if you don't have 30 minutes of time, or you choose not to spend 30 minutes a day giving violet fire prayers, songs, mantras, invocations, whatever time you do it, just do it with maximum love. Do it with carefree love for God and for all life. Go out in nature if you can and visualize this entire earth surrounded in violet light. Visualize your body temple, all of your cells charged with violet energy. You know, get out a map of your body or like a chart that shows all of your organs, the blood vessels, the muscular system, the nervous system, the skeletal system, the digestive system, the elimination system. And one by one, through these various systems, just see that violet energy pouring into your own body temple, because, you know, our temples are temples of the living God. And we can choose to begin with ourselves, because if we try to affect the planet, when we haven't mastered ourselves, what will we do? We'll actually project some of our lack of self-mastery into the world. So more than trying to affect planetary change immediately, as a novice or a newcomer on the path, work primarily on yourself until you feel that you've harmonized, beatified, and brought balance, stability, and equanimity into your own being first. And then when you feel a certain sense of inner peace and that you've made progress, then you can begin to project the violet light out through visualization into situations in the world. You know, for many people, they start by trying to change everything else outside of themselves. And if you start there, I don't believe that you'll make as much progress as if you really focus first and foremost on your own life stream, your own auric field, your own chakras, and work to purify and cleanse, and continue to purify and cleanse yourself. And once you've done that, for maybe even months and years, then, as you feel called and inspired from within your heart, you can assist others. Now, does that mean we don't pray for others right away? Of course not. Of course we do. All I'm saying, though, is that I've noticed that some people, having been on a spiritual path for years, primarily were trying to change the outside world, and yet they had major issues within themselves that they hadn't mastered. And so I think it behooves all of us to step back at times and say, okay, first things first, I'm going to work on myself today, and then when I feel this sense of deep, abiding, reverent peace, harmony, and love, then I feel qualified by God's grace to emanate that violet energy field to the world. So Mother Mary shared with Jesus at a very young age, and it's not recorded in Scripture, I'm just telling you what she's sharing with me now. She shared with him that he, through his love of God, could facilitate healing. And yet, the first thing that he always had to do was to see the light within himself blazing brightly, and to feel the love of the Father, Mother, God, to feel a love for nature, a love for everyone and everything. And once he had established this beautiful process and ritual of so experiencing the actual energy and light of his presence, then he could begin to study ways and means of assisting people by transforming things around him with that energy and that light. Now, he had garnered so much attainment at this in previous lifetimes that it was very natural for him, even from an early age, to be able to assist people and to bless them and even heal them, sometimes as a child. And one of the things Mother Mary is showing me is that where he began as a young boy was to heal animals, because he loved nature and he loved animals. And so if he saw a bird that had an injured wing or an injured leg or talon or something, he would begin this process of using the light of God that was flowing through him to help animals. And having gained by experience and by trial this mastery of doing this, then later, of course, he could work on other things. In other words, Jesus didn't just come in as a full-blown, self-realized individual, and from infancy was he able to do miracles to the extent that, you know, it was outlandishly almost unreal. He had to develop himself. He had to work on himself. And it's important for us to realize this, because then we, too, understand that we have to work on ourselves. And we can't just pray and expect God to do everything for us. We still have to put in the effort. You know, we pray and we expect miracles, yet we have to be practical. So the violet light is a beautiful tool, spiritual tool for us to grace the earth and to grace the entire universe with this energy of love, forgiveness, compassion, mercy, and the alchemy of transmutation and transubstantiation, which the higher adepts are gaining even greater mastery in utilizing for the blessing of humanity at large. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I want to remind everyone that after you have asked your question, hit star 6 again so that the lines are clear. Any more questions, just hit star 6 to get on. And go ahead. David's there, ready for you.
Hello, this is Karen Kirk. I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes,
go ahead, Karen.
Okay. My question is, how do you know when you are in the presence of an ascended master?
I know by the tremendous energy field that's the rush of the Holy Spirit that comes upon me, and that my whole body is charged with love and light and what I call radiation. And I remember one of the first times that this happened to me as a teenager. And it's like my whole body just shook with this rush. And it was a rush of perfect love. It was a rush of light. And it left me in a state of ecstatic joy, of peace, a sense of well-being, of divine happiness. And when an ascended master chooses to overshine someone, you know, any of us, it's a blessing. It's a bestowal of grace and of the light of God. I believe all of us have the ability to attune to the ascended masters, to have the visitation of an ascended being through the pure lives that we lead and our inner harmony and our pure motive to serve others, and that when we are ready, the master appears or the master comes or maybe speaks within our heart. You know, you've heard that. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. Well, the teacher in this case is an ascended being. How do we ready ourselves? By continually working on ourselves to purify, cleanse, harmonize, beatify ourselves through pure diet, pure thoughts, pure feelings, through prayer, meditation, fasting, through all of the things that we simply know that we should do or that we can choose to do because we desire to be of greatest value to God and to the universe. And I think our hearts always lead us in the right direction when we are listening. And when we're obedient year after year, decade after decade, and we've made certain spiritual progress, and we've really kind of made that leap and kind of gone beyond the veil, like Jonathan Livingston Seagull when in that book you know, it's a story, and yet has a lot of truth. When he was an intrepid gull, and he didn't just desire to eat off the surface of the ocean like a lot of the other gulls. He desired to experience flying, and to fly fast, and to fly high, and to go beyond the norm. And one day he was experimenting, and suddenly this great gull appeared. And it was kind of startling to him. Well, to me, that gull represents an ascended being who was there because Jonathan had prepared himself by his daring nature to be one who would go beyond what most people do or what most gulls do, which is just to kind of live and do your job and eat and have a family, blah, blah, blah. He desired to go beyond the constraints of limitation. So make a list of what is limiting to you. And then day by day, attempt to go beyond the limitations. And when you make progress in this, when you are truly moving beyond the norm of most of humanity, and you are accessing spiritual light and grace day after day because of the godly and loving life you lead, I can assure you that a teacher, a divine being, an ascended master will inspire you and maybe even come to you tangibly or in your mind or inspire you in some way. And you will know it by the certitude of the light, the love, the divine feeling, the ecstatic joy. To me, these are the indicators that I am in the presence of a great divine being.
Thank you, David. I have one more question.
Okay.
You were saying that Mother Mary had said to Jesus that he had to see the light of God within himself before he could begin to heal. How do we see the light of God in ourselves? Do we see it in our eyes? Is it upon our countenance? Can you see the light around you? How does one see the light of God?
Well, I think most people can feel it rather than first seeing it. However, you develop through sensitivity greater feelers through the other senses besides just your feeling nature, which is kind of in your solar plexus and your heart area. So for me, being kind of an angel, and I think a lot of us are angels, we have great feeling bodies, and we experience a lot through not just our mind, but through our emotions, through our feeling nature. And so to feel the light of God within our hearts, within our chakras, is really crucial. And when you energize the visualization or the seeing or the vision by feeling, then it's more powerful. We've even heard that in our prayer work, ultimately, 70% of the effectiveness of our prayers and decrees is through visualization. Well, I've thought about that because that's a lot. And I'm more of a feeling person than a seeing person. So I thought, well, why is vision so important? Because when we can conceive immaculately, when we can perceive with perfection and beauty and harmony, there is a matrix through which the light can then flow. We geometrize through our vision. In other words, we create like a formula, and we can use various images that for us are meaningful. Let's say, you know, if you desire to commune with God and nature, then you may desire to visualize communing with the divine in a garden near roses, maybe sitting on a beautiful bench and having the aroma of different beautiful flowers wafting in the atmosphere, or in the shade of a tree, or maybe if you love the sun, just in the radiance and the warmth of the sun. So I think the key to visualizing the light within is to actually bring the sun, which is our greatest example of the light, right into our hearts and feel, if nothing else, just take the sun, hold it in your hands. If, you know, you're looking up at the sky at the sun, and you, maybe not in the midday sun, you don't look directly at the sun, but you can hold your hands around it and then pretend that you're bringing that sun right into your heart. And the same warmth and heat that you feel on a nice, beautiful, clear, sunny day in the summer when you really, it's the perfect temperature, everything is perfect outside, just, you know that feeling. Just bring that feeling and the actual light of the sun right into your chest cavity and have it merge with your heart and feel the glow right within you. I think for many people, this is maybe an easier way to experience it rather than trying to somehow mystically or, you know, dredge it up through your mind. Just, you know, go out and hold the sun in your hands and then bring it right into you. You know, try that and see what happens. And if you're already a feeling person, you have the experience of already feeling it. If you don't feel so much, then visualize it and try to feel it. And through practice, you'll start to feel it more. So the vision creates the objectification of what we are attempting to precipitate so that when we add the feeling, the divine emotion, it will activate and energize it to a more powerful, in a more powerful way, you see. So I think that vision coupled with feeling is super powerful. And that's about it. I hope that answers your question.
That was so beautiful, and you have confirmed so many experiences that I have had. And the one when you spoke about the heat, because I do feel that. I do feel that heat come over me and that sense of joy. So now I know I'm on the right track. So thank
Wonderful.
You so, so, so very much. I am truly grateful. God bless you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
David?
Yes.
I would just like to share, she had asked about the Ascended Masters, and what I would like to share was when I first heard of the Ascended Masters, one of my friends had said something about the Ascended Masters, and I said, what is that? You know? And so anyway, she told me, so I had gotten a book, one of the first books, and I was reading that. And one day I was at a seminar, and I had read about Saint Germain. I had seen pictures of Saint Germain. And this was a very long building, and at the front was the seminar, and the restrooms were way in the back. So I had gone way back there, and I was coming back, and there was this picture of Saint Germain. And I remember I stopped and I looked and I said, that's Saint Germain. And crystal clear, it says, yes, it is me. So ever since that, I know that the Ascended Masters are with us.
Thank you for sharing that. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
They are the saints robed in white. That's why they call it the Great White Brotherhood. It's not the white of a race. It's the white light that they emanate. And in the Bible, it talks about the saints, you know, robed in white. So what are they robed in? Well, it's light. It's white light. And the white light symbolizes their attainment of great love and connectedness to the divine one, the Father, Mother, God.
Any more questions?
I have
one.
David, I have a personal question for Mother Mary about her live stream. and how she came to Earth. I was wondering if she came with 144,000 and Sana Kamara, and if so, if she could talk a little bit about that.
Well, for those who don't know the story, Mother Mary was an angel, and she was chosen to prepare for the great mission that she had to bear the Christ child, the anointed one, the Messiah. And this preparation occurred over a few lifetimes. It wasn't just one. And she is the twin ray or flame of Archangel Raphael, who is an archangel. And so there's this poignant moment when she was called by God to be the one to bear the Christ child on earth. And it was kind of a daunting task to consider, and to leave heaven and to consciously choose to incarnate in time and space in a physical body is not easy, and we all know it. So did she come with Sana Kumara specifically in the 144,000? Well, what I'm seeing and feeling from her is that she was definitely a part of the mission to save the earth. And Jesus was one of the key individuals who came with Sana Kumara, and she actually didn't come right then and there at the same time. She came a little later. As to exactly when, she's not revealing it. But being an archangel, or an archia, which is a female archangel, she was already in heaven, whereas most of the light streams that came from Venus, see? So she wasn't on Venus, per se. She was in the etheric octaves, the heavenly octaves of light, as the twin ray of Archangel Raphael. And when the mission was starting to evolve, and specific life streams were kind of called to take the lead in certain lifetimes to change the course of civilization and humanity and to help people evolve, then she was kind of tagged to incarnate at that time. And so it was kind of a sacred mission that lasted a number of lifetimes. There's a wonderful book called My Soul Doth Magnify the Lord. And in the beginning of that book, it talks about the soul of Mary on earth. I think that's the name of the chapter. It's a wonderful story, and you can read that to get a greater sense of Mary's mission. And it was written by Elizabeth Clare Prophet in communion with the Blessed Mary, and I hold it all as truth and viable. There's other books that have been come forth through the Bridge to Freedom that are absolutely wonderful, and there's one that talks about Mary and her mission and her lives, so I'd recommend that book too. There's a lot of mystery and kind of magic and the whole experience of studying about Mother Mary. And we had a Mary University course that was taught by Jackie Fleeter, who in a past life was Mary of Agreda and actually was a messenger for Mother Mary and wrote down what Mary told her about her life. And the book that we studied is called, I believe, The City of God. And it's all about Mother Mary, and goes into great, great detail about her life. And it supports the Bible, and yet there's much, much more than what was written in the Bible. And Mother Mary dictated it directly to Mary of Agreda. And it's a fantastic course if you choose to really study that. And we have two CDs, or they're kind of, I guess they're like a DVD, of the entire course. And Dennis, Mother Mary is inviting you to secure those and listen to them, because you will learn a lot more, and anyone else on this call can secure them from our Heart Center store and re-experience that course and really learn a lot, because Mother Mary spoke through me and inspired Jackie with all kinds of amazing up-to-date revelation that we just don't have time tonight to deal with. And we have dozens of copies of those two CDs or DVDs. It's not a DVD, but it's like a, it's one of those CDs you have to have a computer to open and then listen to, I believe. And then there's a lot of teaching. And so secure those, and as Paul Harvey used to say, then you'll know the rest of the story.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Mother Mary.
You're welcome.
I think we had somebody else that had a question at the same
time.
Yeah,
I do. I have one brief question. Yes, you described a very beautiful meditation for unity meditation to fill oneself with light. I've been guided to ask, can you describe a prescribed meditation for meditation's sake?
Well, there are many, many types of meditation. And you have to kind of find what is best for you based on where you live, how much time you have or are willing to put in, and what really works for you based on kind of the nature of how you're made as an individual. For me, I love to give a rosary as my primary devotional meditation, because for me, prayer is a natural state of communion with God at a very deep, deep level, where I feel my heart expand. I feel the love of everyone and everything, and I actually feel Mother Mary's presence right in my aura. If you prefer silence, then you can, of course, find a very sacred place where you won't be disturbed, and put aside that 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 minutes to just go within your heart and to visualize that sun, fire, burning right within your heart. And after you can feel it and you know you're sensing it, then work with that light in a creative and beautiful way to expand it and to see the dancing light doing miracles in your world, in your family's world, your community, where you work, if you're still working, and then in the world at large. Mm-hmm. You know, Mother Mary appeared at Fatima to three children, and then there was a miracle where over, I believe, 40,000 people saw this dancing of the sun in the sky. And it was a dance of the sun. So take the visualization of a dancing sun and use the meditation of a dancing sun to let that sun dance wherever you choose to see it going, to perform the miracle of the light itself. And you will be amazed when you are like a child and you're creative and you use your imagination. What you can do to bless people and to bless life through this miracle of imagination. So do something outlandish and not just in a prescribed way every day the same. I like to do different things. You know, sometimes I go jogging and I'll pray. I like to ride my bike and pray. I walk around a track four times for a mile and I pray while I'm looking at the sun. Sometimes, and when I swim, I go to Chico Hot Springs and swim half a mile, and I'm under the water, but I'm saying my prayers to Mother Mary as I'm, you know, between breaths. And I like to just pray. I like to me, that's my daily meditation, is just being prayerful all the time. Because, you know, we've heard pray without ceasing. Well, how do you do that? You got to practice. So just be mindful, be heart-centered, and love yourself, love everyone, and visualize light. I think it's easier to be active and proactive rather than to try to empty your mind. Mm-hmm. Because as Westerners, many of us have difficulty just trying to still ourselves to completely empty our mind. And it can be fraught with a lot of trial and error, and it can be difficult if you aren't able to still yourself. So for those of you who can't still yourself, pray. And do your deep breathing like, you know, we tasted a little bit of today. And then eventually, through stillness and prayer, you make it to the point where you can go into deeper states of what they call the meta state, where you are in the great silence. And silence is also very important. However, unless you have a good teacher and a guide, like Paramahansa Yogananda, and I do encourage people to take his lessons, the SRF lessons, and to go through the very wonderful step-by-step process of learning how to meditate as he promoted it, and to actually have the initiation of going through the whole thing, and after a certain number of lessons, you're invited to have the initiation by a sanctioned individual to Dennis, you know what it is. We won't get into all the details tonight, but you
yoga.
It's Kriya Yoga, and you get the initiation of Kriya Yoga. And you can also, if you don't choose to go to SRF, you can find the same basic type of teaching through the Ananda community, and they have centers in different parts of the United States and the world. Swami Kriyananda was a disciple of Yogananda, and he kind of had an offshoot from the SRF, and Self-Realization Fellowship is kind of the more sanctioned one, organization that he himself founded, Yogananda himself founded, and he anointed various disciples over time. So either one works, you just have to, it's a safe method of meditation. I don't recommend Zen meditation immediately for most people in the United States unless you really have an enlightened individual teaching it, because part of their process is to empty your mind, and unless you really are careful to go into the void without having the proper teacher, an enlightened teacher, can be a little daunting for many people. So, I hope that helps you. I think you can experiment and ask your own higher self, how would you like me to meditate today? And for some people, they have a walking meditation throughout the day. Some people have a meditation where they're serving others as they mindfully think about God, or they see God within others as they serve others. All of these are types of meditation. There's not just one form.
I'm deeply thankful. You have spoken to my heart. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Yes, I have a question.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Beloved David and beloved Mother Mary, how can we know the masters are there, and how can we know they're going to help us? Thank you.
Well, I don't know if you were on earlier when I answered the one question about how do you know and send the masters there. It's a very similar question. Did you hear the answer to that?
No, I didn't.
Well, you missed it, because I really already answered that question. How do you know they're there? By the radiation, the love, the energy, the rush of the Holy Spirit through your whole temple. How can they help us? What was the second part of the question? How can we
how can we know they're going to help us?
Well, you develop a relationship with them by drawing them to yourself through your devotional practices, through your constancy, and especially through your love. And the more you develop the light energy field in your auric of love and service and grace, the more they will be magnetized to you, because like attracts like. So if you are filled with light, the ascended masters take note and they come. And how will you know that they are there to help you? Because you will sense their peace, their presence, their love, their light. You will feel it through your whole being. You'll feel a charge, or you'll feel this exaltation, maybe bliss, ecstasy. You'll feel an at-one-ment that's so harmonious and powerful that you feel lifted up beyond what you've experienced any time else in your life. I remember one experience. I was in the Chicago area in Wheaton, Illinois, and I was with two other individuals, and we were meditating in a living room. And it was a powerful meditation in silence. And suddenly, I saw through my closed eyes, through the eyelids, I could actually sense and saw this gigantic, amazing energy, like a white light, a white golden light in the room, right in the living room, right where we were meditating. And I knew instantly by telepathy that it was Kathumi. There was no equivocation. It was like it was communicated to my higher mind. It wasn't, he didn't speak audibly. It was just, I am Kathumi. It was like, I knew it. I knew it instantly. And so what happened? Well, he made his presence known. There was an initiation that occurred by the transfer of the light from his being to the three of us. And that was even before the heart center was formally formed that this occurred. It was back in, I think it was December of 2004. So the three of us were a part of the onset of the Heart Center movement, and the other two individuals were not really active in the Heart Center anymore. However, they were instrumental at that time in helping give birth to the Heart Center movement. And I will always remember that experience. It was so powerful and tangible. And I had never really experienced that dramatic of a form of the presence of an ascended master, even though I had been witness to hundreds of dictations through Elizabeth Clare Prophet. This was right in the room, and I could feel it and see it. You know, it was very, very powerful. So when you have an experience like this, you'll never forget it. It will change your life. It will make you desire more and desire to be of service and desire to fulfill what your purpose on the earth is. Because, you know, you have a responsibility when you have an experience like this to use that light and that energy, that inspiration, to help people and to serve. It's not just to warm you up or to give you a rush. That's not the purpose of the Ascended Masters coming. They're not here to entertain us. They're here to entrain us with God permanently so that we can rise up and fulfill who we are. Now, they are very entertaining, believe me. Masters are the greatest entertainers in the universe because they're so energetic, and they're humorous. They will do things differently in a Zen-like way sometimes, like during our conference, our recent conference, we were meditating there, you know, for the 15 minutes before 8 o'clock when the services was going to begin, and Maitreya appeared to me, and he was just smiling and laughing. He was like almost laughing, but he was smiling. And I couldn't contain myself anymore because I was just feeling this joy of Maitreya, and suddenly I started laughing, and I couldn't stop laughing, and sure enough, everybody starts laughing. We had a fantastic release of light subsequent to that that took us out of the box of, okay, everybody has to be completely still in these 15 minutes of silent meditation. It was the perfect thing for the audience, and it was very entertaining. So God will move us beyond what we, the constraints of our human ego, maybe what we think that, you know, what spirituality we think it should be, and God's always there to transform us in spite of ourselves. And so, you know, invite the Holy Spirit to work through you in some amazing alchemical way day after day, and you will be surprised to see where God takes you. Because it may be a roller coaster ride, it may be an ascent up a mountain peak. I can assure you, though, you will be lifted up, and you will, your life will never be the same. When you give God the power to move through you, it is amazing what will happen.
That's for sure.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Okay.
Go ahead. How do we use the sun and the sun rays to work on our own aura? And from this type of work, what development can take place?
Well, the sun is the greatest example of godliness in the whole solar system, because the sun is putting out these beautiful waves and rays of light that give life to all of life on Earth. And without the sun, we wouldn't have life on Earth. So how do we work with the sun's rays? Well, we can choose to get up early before sunrise at dawn, which is, dawn is a half hour before sunrise. It's a great time to meditate and to be there when the sun comes over the horizon and appears as this beautiful golden, sometimes golden pink, or even orange sphere. And if you live in an area where you can see the sunrise, it's safe to solar gaze the first hour of the morning and look directly at the sun, starting with 10 seconds and then adding 10 seconds a day. And only that amount. Don't go, you know, don't just jump it to 10 minutes immediately. It's a very safe way of doing it. And if you can, you can learn on our website how to do it safely. Anyway, when you're there meditating with the sun, you can drink in the sun's vital, energizing, vivifying rays and intelligence, because the sun is the most intelligent being in our solar system. Did you know that? Now, how does the sun have that intelligence? Because the sun is a son of God, and the sun is one with God. And the sun is all powerful, all, you know, it's continually glorifying God through its radiant field. I mean, imagine if you had the power that the sun has. That's what Jesus demonstrated, you know, when he resurrected. He was like this little sun right on earth. And he said to Mary Magdalene, don't touch me, I haven't yet ascended. Because if she touched him, she could have been burned, you know, with the light that he bore. So Jesus himself demonstrated what our destiny is if we choose to become one with God by living as God intended us to live. So meditate on the sun. Feel the intelligent energy. Feel the inspiration, the charge, the empowerment, the vivifying currents of the Holy Spirit that the sun also charges us with. You know, I like to dry our clothes. Mona and I like to dry our clothes out in the sun. And every time we do that, we notice, because we smell the clothes, the amazing perfume that the sun and the prana and the atmosphere have charged our clothes with. Have you noticed that fresh smell? Well, that's what the sun is doing to us if we choose to live in its radiance. I would call it pranatizing us. You know, it's energizing us with this beautiful aroma of beauty and grace. So if you can be outside more rather than sitting behind a computer all day or inside in a cubicle or in your home, in a safe way, of course, the light of the sun will go into your crown chakra, it will go into all your chakras, it will activate certain hidden and secret powers that the chakras are receptors for. You know, that we drink in the light of God through our chakras and we emanate the light of God through our chakras as we process that light. So our chakras are both emissive, which means they radiate out, and receptive, meaning that they receive energy. They're both. They're these little battery packs of cosmic light and energy. So get to know your chakra system. Use your chakras to glorify God and to magnify the Lord. And how do you do that? Well, use your mind. Use your third eye. Use your throat. Use your heart, your solar plexus, seat of the soul, and base chakra. How do you use them? Well, read a lot of the heart streams that the Heart Center has, because you'll get keys in the over 4,000 messages I've already received of how to activate those chakras and to use them to bless life through your virtue, through your gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's almost no greater thing that you can do to learn what I've already shared from the Ascended Masters than to get onto the Heart Center website, and Donna or Barbara or, you know, the two Donnas, Donna Drigan or Donna Korth, or Barbara especially, can help you to find where those are. You go to teachings and blogs, you hover on that, it's the third tab to the left, then you go down to Heart Streams and Discourses, then three little things will pop off on the right, and it says the Heart Streams Database. You click on there, and you just open a file, choose some of the more recent ones. They're all in order of published date, when they were delivered. They're in that order, and you can just click on that little WMA, which is the audio file, and listen. And it's free. It's totally free. Other companies or spiritual movements would be charging hundreds and hundreds of dollars for access to these over 4,000 messages we have. We offer them free. So it's preset for the last 90 days. Yet you can click on, like, where it says master, there's a down arrow. You can click on any master you choose. There's like, I think there's over 200 of them, or somewhere over 180 at least. Click on one like Jesus, or Mother Mary, or whoever, whatever master kind of jumps out at you. Click on that master, choose a date range, or you can click all, and then do the search. And then you'll have lots coming up. I just chose Lotus. So Lotus has given four heart streams, at least, that are in our system. She was the twin flame of Guy Ballard, who was Godfrey Ray King. And you can either listen, or you can read, or you can do both. You can click on the HTM, which is the text. You can click on the WMA, which is the audio. And you can read along as you're listening. So, you know, am I putting in a plug for this? Of course I am, because many of you probably don't even know how to use this yet. Or maybe you haven't availed yourself of the opportunity. Yet, for the last 10 years, I've been delivering these messages almost on a daily basis. and they're beautiful. They are, each and every one of them is a blessing. Each one has an important message, and each one transfers energy to us when we listen in a harmonic state and when we are mindful and when we are attentive. So this itself, this one key of learning how to navigate our database of heartstrings, what we call heartstrings, can be such a magnificent opportunity for you, all of you on this call, to use, that you will be amazed what has already been released. And you will be blessed, and then you can start sharing with a lot of other people things that maybe you found to be of amazing value to you. So anyway, that's my plug for the heartstrings.
Thank you, David, and I'm going to do that.
Great. You're welcome.
And if anybody needs help with this, please email me at donnacorth@suddenlink.net or just give me a call. You have my phone number on all of the invitation letters, or you can call Barbara. I think her number is there also. We are all here and ready to help you. We've come to about the end of our time. We had a really excellent, diverse number of questions, questions about the soulless ones, the violet flame and ascension, the light of God in our hearts and how to know Mother Mary's coming to earth and how that occurred, and how to meditate, some very good things on that, how you can know that the Masters are here and will help us, and how do we use the sun's rays to help us, and then some wonderful instruction on listening to the Master's dissertations and heart streams on all of these subjects. They're all the answers are in there, and you will really be blessed if you will take that time. David, we are so grateful and so thankful for your taking the time tonight to be that being that that Mother Mary could speak through and help us and guide us. And we just will look forward to when you come back again, which I think is in October. So hang on to your questions, and if you have other questions that you haven't had answered, we're here to help you find the answers. So you can contact any of us in the HeartShare team or Barbara or me. We're always available. I'd like to call on Dwayne, if you're there. Dwayne, you can hit *6 and you can close or seal. Yeah, you can seal it for us. And then after Dwayne seals our session tonight, anybody who would like to stay for prayers, please remain on the line, and we will spend time taking your prayer requests and praying for you. Thank you, Dwayne. Go ahead.
Yes. Beloved Father, Mother God, Mother Mary, and angels assigned to us, we give our gratitude for your presence with us. We ask for your continued guidance, direction, and for our spiritual advancement on the path. Bring us to our highest understanding in our learning and discerning for our service to life. Inspire us on as we fulfill our reason for being. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The way we do the prayer requests is if you have a request that you would like us to honor tonight and in the ensuing days, just hit *6, say your name, and share with us what your request is, and we will divide them up and pray for them and honor them throughout the week. So, do we have any prayer requests tonight?
Donna,
yes.
I have a prayer request.
Yes.
My cousin, Eileen Carlscher, she fought breast cancer, and she beat the cancer, and she didn't want to take the tamoxifen. She had a bad feeling about it, but her family and her physicians insisted that she took it, and she's taken it for 2 years, and she's had to stop taking it, and she's had massive liver damage to her liver. So I would like prayers that her cancer is continued to be healed and that her liver is healed and cleansed.
And who am I talking to?
This is Vicki.
Vicki. Oh, hi, Vicki.
Hi, Donna.
Yes, we will honor that, Vicki,
Definitely. Thank you for sharing that. Okay. Do we have any other prayer requests?
This is Rebecca, mm-hmm. and we have a lady in our Sunday school class that's in the hospital for chemo and some kind of cancer in her lower body, in her abdominal cavity. And she's finished the chemo, but she's just very, very weak. She's kind of a slender person, and she can't even stand up by herself. So. Her name is Marianne Green.
Marianne Green.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Donna?
Thank you, Rebecca. We've got her name down here. Good.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Joanne Martin.
Hi,
and
Joanne.
I had a call this afternoon from a young woman requesting prayer for her and her sister. They both are having some serious, serious health issues. It's Sheila Michelle Rideau. And
mm-hmm.
Deborah Adams, could we pray for them, please?
We sure will.
Thank you.
Do you know what kind of health issues?
Yes. Michelle is dealing with tumors. She had a brain tumor and one in her nose, and now it's on a kidney. And Deborah has been on dialysis for years. She's she had a transplant, kidney transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time before she told me today she needs another transplant, but she has to lose weight before they can do it.
Oh, okay. All right, that's Deborah. All right, good. Thank you. Thank you for this, Joanne.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for always reminding me of the call.
You're welcome. Do we have another prayer request?
I do. This is Nadia Bay. I have a prayer request for my best friend's father. His name is Milton Perkins. Milton Perkins.
Perkins.
He is in the ICU at the VA hospital. He's a terminal cancer, and he's requesting prayer for his father's day.
He's requesting prayer for what?
He's requesting prayer for his father. His father's name is Milton Perkins. His name is Darnell Perkins.
Okay, and that's by Darnell is his son. Okay.
Darnell's the son, yes.
All right, got it. Good.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay, any more prayer requests tonight? Hello? Okay, let me find out then who is with us to help us pray on our team tonight. Barbara, are you there? Or Cindy or?
Yes, I'm here, Donna.
Okay.
I'm here. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Donna.
Good, Donna
okay.
and Barbara. Is there anyone else?
Dwyn.
And Dwyn. Good. Okay, anyone else?
Cindy is here, too.
Good, Cindy. Great. What I'm going to do is, Barbara, I'll give you the first one, which is for Eileen, who has, it's Eileen. This is a request from Vicki. Eileen, with breast cancer, who's been on the tamoxifen for a long time, and now she has liver damage, which I'm pretty sure is from the tamoxifen. That's pretty powerful stuff. And then Donna Dregan. If you would take Rebecca's Sunday school class lady named Marianne Green, who has cancer and she's very weak and not, you know, of course, feeling very poorly as people do with this disease. And Dwayne, if you would take Sheila, Michelle, and Deborah. Sheila has the brain tumor. I think she had a tumor in her nose also, and her kidney is now affected with cancer, and Deborah has had dialysis, and she needs another transplant, but she needs to lose weight. So it's Sheila, Michelle, and Deborah. You would pray for those two, Dwyn.
Yes.
And then, Cindy, if you would take Milton Perkins, who's in ICU with terminal cancer, and his son Darnell is requesting this prayer. And then I'll close. So, Barbara, you go ahead and start.
Okay.
Oh, blessed Mother Mary, Archangel Raphael, all the healing angels, we call to you from our hearts, and we pray that you place your electronic presence over Vicky's friend Eileen, who has been so burdened in her body with breast cancer and with liver damage from the medication that she's been taking, tamoxifen, for an extended period. We pray for her healing at the cellular level. Radiate your emerald green healing light into her being and send angels of comfort to her and her family and her loved ones to buoy them up, to give them courage and hope and peace of mind and heart. We pray for the erasing of the cause and core of this cancer by thy grace. O beloved Kuan Yin, Goddess of Mercy, have mercy on this woman and all people suffering from cancer and other such debilitating diseases and health problems. Help us all seek to purify our world and purify our lives so that we will not be burdened with these cancers. We love you and we know you love us. Thank you so much for always being available to us. We accept it done now with full love, wisdom, and power. Amen.
In the name I am that am, we call to Mother Mary, Hilarion, Raphael, the healing angels, the comfort angels, the love angels, to surround Mary Ann Green, Rebecca's friend at church, who has cancer in her lower body and is very weak. Please, Mother Mary, surround her lower body with your healing light and your love, and put your aura around her as well as all of the healing angels, Hilarion and Raphael. Please give her strength and comfort her and all of the comforting angels. Let her know that she is loved and that she is being prayed for by her friends and light bearers. We ask this in the name I am that I am. Amen.
In the name of my mighty I Am Presence,